fellow Madison, and all that are listening by computer to this station anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. We're so glad to bring you this first edition of Let's Talk About Jesus 2010. Oh, it's so good to know the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus, don't do like I used to do and turn the channel. Please stay tuned. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message of hope and encouragement from God's Word that we're getting ready to bring you today. The Bible is a wonderful book of hope, no matter what the circumstances of your life. In fact, the Bible says of itself, the scriptures that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. And that's why when we open God's book, there is an absolute spring of hope bubbling up from the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we want you to stay tuned today. If you're a sinner and you feel like you can't quit sinning and you're bound and in a prison house, I want you to know there's hope for you today in Jesus Christ. If you're a drug addict and you can't quit, but you know it's destroying your life, possibly your family, your job. You may be in a situation that you feel you can't get out of, and you may be right about that. But here's what the Scripture has to say. Amen. That the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of Scripture, we might have hope. Praise God. So every time we open the Bible, there is always hope. Even if the Bible exposes and condemns our sin, there's hope. Thank God Jesus came and suffered and died for us on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. That is the good news, and that's what constitutes the very word gospel and encapsulates all that it means today. Well, having said that, I'm excited about this brand new year that God has given us to work for Him and to serve Him. And we're so happy to be broadcasting, part of the broadcast family, right here on WMAF. And thank God for this station. That's all I can say. Pray for this station. I know it's a blessing to you, spiritually and otherwise. So we just pray that you pray this year. Set it in your heart if you're a Christian. Pray for the outreach of WMAF as this station grows and reaches more and more people. So the gospel and the gospel in song and then the good classic country music. I mean, you know, where can you go and find Marty Robbins singing today? Where can you find some of this great music that is family friendly, that you can turn it on your car radio with your wife, your mother-in-law, your kids and your dogs, and not have to worry about none of them being offended. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're glad for WMAF. And pray for us here in Tampa, the Holy Church of God, where this broadcast originates, this will be a year that is productive for the kingdom. We so covet and appreciate your prayers. And we pray for you that wherever the Word of God is sent today, that the Scripture will be fulfilled that we have claimed as the basis for this radio outreach ministry. And that is that He sent His Word, Psalm 107 verse 20, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Praise the Lord. We have a great subject. We hope you stay tuned for it today. And we're going to be speaking from actually two scriptures, one in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and one in the New Testament, Romans 8, 26 through 31, as our text today for this message, trusting God to take you through it all. Praise the Lord. That seems to be a theme in my heart for this coming year 2010. The challenges to our nation, our world, and to us personally here in America are so mighty. We need a faith that will cause us to be able to be optimistic even in desperately troubled times. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk about this subject as long as God lets us for and beginning with this broadcast, trusting God to take you through it all. Praise the Lord. I want to make a statement before we read the scripture today. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. No wonder that kind of sporty Chevrolet that's still around is called the Impala. They were trying to take an animal from Africa that was very agile and apply that name to a car that kind of fit that kind of characteristics. Let me read that again. They can jump to a height of 10 feet and cover a distance in that jump of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept and in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. I want you to think about that. They've got the capability of jumping 30 feet, and yet it only takes 36 inches to contain them. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. It's something that is unique to the impala. He will not jump if he can't already see where his feet will fall. And let me say something about faith. And that's something we're going to talk about. If you're going to trust God to take you through it all, we're going to have that New Testament word for trust active in our life that maybe we're more familiar with than we are the Old Testament word for faith, which is trust. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life and the limiting factors that only fear allows to entrap us. Praise the Lord. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. In fact, in the book of Hebrews 11:1, it said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I'm going to read from Proverbs 3 today, verse 5 and 6. It simply says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I believe with all of my heart that God is in control. And when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, He becomes in distinct, direct control of your life. Everything that happens, everything that touches it, God can use to perform His eternal purposes in and through us. Let me read this from Romans 8:26-31. Listen to it carefully. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I don't always know what God is up to. I really, sometimes I am like the impala. I have to take a leap of faith. But it is not blind faith. I know where my feet are going to land, even though I can't see where my feet are going to land. I don't know circumstantially how everything's going to work out, but when I take a leap of faith and trust God, I know that God is in control, and my feet will land somewhere in the perimeters and the parameters of His eternal purpose for my life. Praise God. You know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. That means I'm aging. I'm getting ready to turn 63. And I've been walking with God in a full-blown salvation relationship since I was 21 years of age. And I'm going to tell you something. I have not been able to figure Him out to this day. There's a scripture that said His ways are above our ways as far as the heavens are above the earth. That's a pretty great distance, isn't it? Between your way of thinking, my way of thinking, and thinking on God's level. But let me tell you something. In all of those years, there have been things I didn't understand. I like that old gospel song that says, we'll understand it better by and by. I'll ask the reasons. He'll tell me why. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend, I don't always understand God's ways, but I do understand that He loved me enough to give His Son for me. And I love Him back for loving me like that. And I love Christ for going to the cross and dying for me. And the Bible said that everything, you see, loving like that brings a relationship of trust that we call faith in the New Testament. But it is a personal, intimate trusting of God, born out of accepting His love for us and reciprocating that love and loving Him back. And in that relationship of love, there is a deep abiding trust. And that deep abiding trust constitutes true faith as it is presented in the New Testament. Make no mistake about it. Faith is more than a spiritual force. Faith is born out of an intimate relationship with God. Hallelujah. And in that relationship of intimacy, there is a trust forged, and that trust is what produces, and it's really synonymous with the word faith. You know, there's an Old Testament word for faith. Faith is found, I think, one time only in the Old Testament. Isn't that incredible? But the word that demonstrates faith, that was used for faith in the Old Covenant, was the word trust. When I hear the word faith in the New Testament, I can think of many things. But when I hear the word trust in the Old Testament, I think of only one thing. A relationship with someone that you have found through that intimacy and that knowledge of that person through intimacy and friendship to be trustworthy. And therefore, you put your trust in him or her. There is a scripture that says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. So when the Bible says in the New Covenant, the New Testament, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not just the promises, it's not just the scriptures on the page, it's the person that the Bible tells us of. It's the God who is being revealed through His Son, and His Son speaking to us through the Word of God, and demonstrating through His life and ministry what the Father is like, that causes us to trust the Lord with all of our heart, getting to know Him enough that we put our trust in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is so wonderful to me, to be able to see intimacy, not just spiritual forces at work, but a person who loves us enough to give us His Son that we can commit our all to in faith. Praise God. Listen, there's four steps to resting faith where we really are able to give it all to God. And the first step is Romans 8:26 and 27 that we read. And it tells us something we need to know down here in this fallen world. And that is that you are not on your own. The Bible said in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, and he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, there's been so many things that I couldn't possibly figure out. But I acquiesce to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when I can't put it into words, sometimes in just groanings. God knows the language of tears. God knows the language of the heart. God knows what we have need of, and the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is. Used to be a television show back in the day of black and white television and great big old television sets with little bitty screens. And sometimes you see that program still running in some of the retro broadcast, and the name of it was Father Knows Best. Well, I'm going to tell you something according to the scriptures and according to my life experiences. My Father really does know best, my Father in heaven. But I don't always know. I think I know, but God really does know. And there are times when I don't know how to pray like I ought to pray, but He, the Holy Spirit, is given. Listen, the Holy Ghost is here to give us more than a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Praise God. He's here to cause the will of God to be realized in our lives, the eternal purposes of God. And God's intent for you today, friend, is good. Not just the immediate temporal good, but eternal lasting good in your life. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if it was up to me, I would pray myself out of every trial. I don't like trials, but trials develop my faith and my fortitude and my character. And sometimes without the clay becoming soft like putty in God's hands, He can't work with it to make the vessel He wants out of it. And sometimes the trials that break us down, if we trust the Lord enough through them, that He is in charge, He is in control, and His intent is good, and His love hasn't left us. Hallelujah. Amen. God can use the very trials that break us and soften us if we trust Him to make us better and not bitter. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a scripture that says, think it not strange the fiery trial that has come upon you as some strange thing. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. If you're going through heavy testing as a Christian, you're not unique. God hasn't singled you out for some Job-like example, believe me. Amen. You've got a lot of other folks that can identify with you. Being a Christian doesn't mean the heat is off. Being a Christian means the heat is on, praise God. But being a Christian means that God has been allowed to not only forgive your sins and save you, but become your Lord and Savior. And that means He is able to distinctly, directly work in our lives His eternal purpose and will. Praise God. You know this scripture, Romans 8:28, that we're reading, I call it the knot at the end of the rope here in the book of Romans. And it simply says that we know that all things work together for good for to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And then verse 29 tells us exactly what His eternal purpose is, the highest reason for Him working in us as intently and intensely as He does. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God wants us to progressively become more like Jesus Christ. And here's something a lot of people don't want to hear, but you need to hear this. And Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. That doesn't mean the devil keeps us under his heel. That doesn't mean that we are always living in an oppressed state. It means that my flesh and your flesh just can't have its way if God's will is going to be wrought within us. And the flesh has to be crucified according to the scriptures, put to death, so that his eternal will and our willing spirits might be set free to achieve God's eternal purposes. Praise God. He wants me like his son, and he's been working on me for a long, long time. But I'm going to report today that I'm a work in progress. You say, how can you preach and not be perfect? Because I'm on the same journey you are. Amen. The Bible said we're to go on to perfection. And that's a lifelong journey. God is still challenging me. God is still changing me. God is still allowing me to go through specific trials that will help me stay soft before him and never get hardened in pride or self-sufficiency. And for those trials, looking back on them, I thank him. And for those trials to come, I'm learning to thank him, because I know he has a purpose beyond my immediate convenience. And I know that his grace, oh, have you made this discovery? If you're going through a trial, his grace is sufficient. He will not leave you. He will not fail you. And when you're too weak to walk it out, the Bible said he will uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness. I looked up that word uphold, and it doesn't mean to come alongside and add his strength to what little strength you have so that he can kind of get you through it by letting you lean on him. But the word uphold means to pick up someone who can't even stand up, for someone to pick up someone who can't even stand up. Praise God. And God said to the nation of Israel, his covenant people in the Old Testament, and I will uphold you with the right hand. Yes, God is right-handed. Praise God. The hand of dexterity and strength. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Have you ever read the well-worn, almost cliched poem, Footprints, that you see on so many Christian cards and Christian paraphernalia and in Christian bookstores? Footprints. And the story is, I'm walking along the seashore and I only see one set of footprints. I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm weak, I'm worn. And I only see one set of footprints, and I feel lonely, isolated, and alienated. And I don't sense God's presence or heaven's nearness. And I cry out and say, Lord, why is there only one set of footprints when you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me? And God simply answers, it's because I'm carrying you. Listen, friend, God upholds us through the right hand of his righteousness, through his grace, his mercy, his strength, his spiritual strength that he invests in our inward man. And though the outward man perish, fall apart, the inward man is renewed day by day. God sustains his people. If you're not a Christian and you're using alcohol as your crutch, and by the way, someone said, oh, you're going to admit that religion is a crutch. Not religion per se, but my relationship with the Lord, if it's a crutch because I lean on him so heavily, I expect him to carry me through things that I can't walk through, and that's how I get through. And that's the, I openly confess, if that's a crutch, give me two of them. Give me a wheelchair. Listen to me. I need the Lord. I need his help. I need his mercy. I need him to uphold me. I don't want to be the Marlboro man. I want to be the one who is sustained by the one who created heaven and earth. Praise God. Amen. Listen, people are looking for something to help them cope with living in a faulty body in a fallen world. Listen, some people are turning to alcohol, and I understand why. If we don't have God to uphold us, we're going to look for something to lean on to get us through one more day. Some people shoot up and use drugs. Some people toke up or smoke up or snort up, and they're all looking for something to help them either find fulfillment for the emptiness or find strength for the overwhelming sense of helplessness in this world, to change our circumstances or to change ourselves, to change the pain in our heart. I'm telling you, God loves you today. And if He ever gets control of your life because you accept Jesus Christ as not just your Savior from your sins, but your Lord and your Master, the one that is now going to begin to work within us to achieve His purposes. Believe me, He won't make you some kind of slave, that He will set you free from the one who has enslaved you. There is a liberty in this. I love waking up each day knowing no matter what happens that day, God is in control. God is in charge. You know, there's a show that I used to enjoy watching on television called Malcolm in the Middle, and it came on with a theme song, and it says, "You ain't the boss of me now, and you ain't so big." You know, that's the whole attitude of the whole fallen world toward God. You ain't the boss of me. And they think that means I'm free to do as I please, when in fact it leads to bondage, chains. We're chained to sin. But oh, when He breaks those chains, when he opens the doors of that prison house of sin, and we are set free to serve Him and follow Him, not set free to do our thing, but to follow Him, there's a joy and there's a peace and there's a power that you'll never know until you bow to this great, good God who loves you enough and me enough to give His Son for us. Someone that loves to that degree is not going to hurt you. He's not going to harm you. He's going to help you every step of the way. Praise God. Listen, if you don't know Him today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're afraid that He's going to put you in some religious box and suck all the joy out of your life, nothing could be further from the truth. He's going to set you free from the prison of want, where you keep looking for something or someone to satisfy, and you indulge yourself in every sin you can find, and sooner or later, maybe in the immediate sense, you feel satisfaction, fulfillment, but after a while that emptiness creeps back in, that dissatisfaction comes back, that gnawing, a knowing inside that you need something more. God says there's a place in your heart that only He can fill, and until He fills it, you'll never ever find through sin, through this world system, that will truly satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Oh, but I challenge you today to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, to ask Him to forgive your sins and to receive Him today. Bow before Him in your heart, right where you are, and receive Him as your Lord and personal Savior. And once you do that, He takes charge. Hallelujah. And everything from this point forward will work together for good to Him, that because He loves you and because you love Him back. And you allow Him that kind of place in your heart and in your life. Oh, friend of mine, would you pray that prayer today to invite Jesus Christ into your life? If you're a Christian today and you know the Lord, but you haven't bowed before Him, fully surrendered to Him, you need to just bow down today and say, "Lord, I'm tired of trying to drive, tired of trying to chart my own course. I'm just going to give it to You. I'm going to give the people to You. I'm going to give the circumstances to You. And I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm going to quit worrying. And I'm going to expect good things in 2010, because He hasn't left me. He's upholding me with the right hand of His righteousness, and I have nothing to fear. We love you. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. I know I'll be